Hello and welcome to NewsWrap. Today is Thursday, November 7th, and I'm Patrick Kidd. In today's NewsWrap, Rob Herzog, Corky Koyman, and Yaki Salia share their reactions to Donald Trump's victory in the US presidential election. Gauteng MEC for e-government Bonginkosi Dlamini and the province's high-tech crime fighting, and SAPI CEO Steve Binney on the company's strong quarterly results. First up, though, Democratic candidate Kamala Harris has conceded the 2024 U.S. election to Donald Trump. She gave her speech at Howard University in Washington, D.C. last night. Here's a clip from our partners at Bloomberg.
Now I know folks are feeling and experiencing a range of emotions right now. I get it. But we must accept the results of this election. Earlier today, I spoke with President-elect Trump and congratulated him on his victory. I also told him that we will help him and his team with their transition, and that we will engage in a peaceful transfer of power. A fundamental principle of American democracy is that when we lose an election, we accept the results. That principle, as much as any other, distinguishes democracy from monarchy or tyranny. And anyone who seeks the public trust must honor it. At the same time, in our nation, we owe loyalty not to a president or a party, but to the Constitution of the United States. And loyalty to our conscience and to our God. My allegiance to all three is why I am here to say, while I concede this election, I do not concede the fight that fueled this campaign.
And this morning on the Business Briefing podcast, Alec Hogg spoke to South African business leader and self-titled capitalist activist Rob Herzog. Commenting on Trump's election victory, Herzog is welcoming a second Trump presidency with open arms.
You've lived in America, you've studied in America, you've got a lot of American friends. You'd plugged in far better than most South Africans are to that country. Why this big swing to Trump?
So the people that I speak to are mainly investors, corporate chieftains, heads of institutions, business people. And every single one of them, publicly or quietly in private, said, we're backing Trump. You know, anyone who's from a communist or socialist country that lives in America now says, we just cannot, we've seen socialism and communism, they don't work, they're destructive, they're evil, they kill people. And Kamala is closer to that socialist world than Trump. Trump is a business person. We need more business people in politics. I agree with that. You know, we're voting for Trump. A lot of people, actually, like Bill Ackman, who is a lifelong Democrat, went public and said, you know, I'm now backing Trump. I'm a Republican. But also very impressive, successful people like Elon Musk, Peter Thiel, and others, said, you know, on record, we're with Trump. And I follow those people. I think they're the smartest people of all, those business successes. And all of them back Trump. So it was the business, I'm not going to say elite, because I'll leave elites for the Democrats, but it was the business success stories, the workers, males, huge swing in blacks and Latinos to Trump, big swing in under 30s to Trump, and he deserves it. He deserves the victory. He's won the popular vote. He's won the Senate. He's won the House. He's got his mandate to get rid of woke, get rid of DEI, to get rid of ESG, get rid of identity politics, to get rid of men competing in women's sports and all of this rubbish that has come in via the left. And I think we're on track for a very, very good next 4 years. America
for
and the
America.
World.
And America the world and the South world. Africa? South Africa?
Well, I think South Africa is irrelevant. I think, you know, Donald Trump is not particularly interested in Africa, and I doubt South Africa is even on his radar.
Denker Capital's Corky Koyman also sat down with Alec Hogg and shared his insights on what a Trump presidency will mean for the US economy and the world at large.
And bear in mind, I just look now at something like most regional banks are already up 60 to 70% while including this year to date or for the 12 months. So we've already had quite a good move, but on top of this, you now got 14%, 13% in one day. So what triggered this? Well, obviously the Trump election and victory, but it's the policies that the market is anticipating that he might push through. And so we're talking specifically tariff protection against exports, in other words, America first. But a tariff protection is inflationary. So if you load imports with tariffs, it means your consumers have to pay more for the products. So that's inflationary. So you see your long bond yield has jumped to 4.4%. Now, that a few months ago was 3.7. That's a 70 basis point rise in 10-year interest rates in America, anticipating higher inflation. But the important thing for banks as well is that Trump is very anti-regulation, less protection, and the market anticipates that he will reverse some of the protection, some of the regulation to make doing business easier, to facilitate business. Just by the way, a quick interesting stat, the European Union gross domestic product, you know, the size of the economy and the US economy were almost the same at the end of 2008. US is now 70% bigger in terms of its GDP than Europe. And that is how many years later? That is 16 years later. But over the 16 years, US has grown 70% more than Europe. And the answer is really regulation. Europe has tried to regulate, protect everybody, look after everybody. And that's what this election was about. Trump wants to grow. Democrats wanted to protect people, give handouts, which is, you've got to look after the poor. It is actually taking protection away or being less protectionist. And there were all people who will get hurt. But yeah, it's at the end of 2008, the guy said, you know, we can put a robot on every street lights, on every street corner, but you'll slow down the traffic. But, you know, that's not practical. So people have got to drive and stop when there's a stop street and not expect the people from the other side not to cross. So the Democrats were trying to just protect, overprotect. And you can see that in Europe, where the growth rate remains so low because there is just so much red tape to get business done. And I think it's a huge lesson for South Africa as well that... you know, and we have got parts of society that need protection, need help, but you must actually let the private sector do more of that, and then rather curb the private sector that your monopolistic situations don't become too strong or they can't use that power.
Renowned futurist and South African thought leader Yaki Cilea was much more tentative when asked about his reaction to Trump's election victory. Cilea spoke to business editor Alec Hogg.
Yaki, good to have you on the day after Donald Trump's ascension to the throne. Were you surprised by the extent of his victory, though?
I probably, like many people, I was hoping against hope that he would not win, although the polling results were showing the opposite. So, yes, a bit of a shock, and a concerning one, I think, globally in certain ways, because he brings a significant amount of disruption to the global environment, and that unpredictability and lack of predictability is really a concern.
What about Africa to start with? The ISS operates all over the continent. Well, you operate globally, but you're experts in Africa. We'll talk about South Africa in just a moment. But how would Africa be viewing this victory by Trump?
Well, what has been happening is that Africa has been steadily moving down the priority list with the competition with China and so on. So this is another negative for Africa. I think, you know, the Americans have been, I think the one thing that will remain is the competition with China in Africa, But whereas Biden and others were building the Lobito Corridor and trying to partner with Africa, there was the Africa Leadership Summit and all of those things, I'm not sure that we are going to see much of that with Biden. It's going to be all out for himself. Oh, sorry, Trump, all out for himself, and the transactional politics that we've seen, I think, is once again going to come back. So a variety of things that I think will negatively impact Africa. I mean, there is, for example, are we going to see another U.S.-Africa Leaders Summit? What is going to happen with AGOA? What is going to happen with the Presidential Advisory Council of Doing Business in Africa that Biden established, the Millennium Challenge Account Corporation, Millennium Challenge Corporation has engaged in a number of so-called compacts with Africa. What's going to happen with that? And I think the most important is the potential reform of the World Bank and the IMF, unlocking more cheaper financing for Africa. I think that I'm not sure that that's on the cards at all now. And then, of course, there's the climate change implications. He's probably going to withdraw from Paris again, and this is all I think bad news for Africa.
So first level thinking, it's more freedom for America, the economy might grow faster, they are going to improve their debt. But second level thinking says, whoa, watch out world, it's going to be a different man in the hot seat in the world's superpower.
Yes, I think that, you know, Trump may in the short term do the US good. But in the long term, what this does is, in my view, it accelerates the U.S. decline because the kind of beggar thy neighbor kind of politics that he excels in, I think is generally just not good for the world. It's because it's this competitive kind of transactional politics, which I think does not do anybody well.
In local news, BizNews journalist Chris Stain interviewed Gauteng MEC for e-governments Bonginkosi Dlamini. Lamini highlighted the province's recent achievements in crime fighting, citing the use of high-tech innovations.
What have been the biggest achievements in crime fighting over the first 100 days in office?
Well, previously, our time response was between 18 and 30 minutes, and it has now been brought to about 5 to 10 minutes. One significant achievement is the reduction in response times to incidents of crime due to the real response times to incidents of crime. Due to real-time monitoring enabled by the cameras. The local law enforcement can act swiftly when a crime is detected, reducing the window in which perpetrators can escape or harm others. Therefore, it has, in the 100 days, we have seen the reduction of crime, more especially in the response to, more especially in areas where we are monitoring with our CCTV cameras.
I wanted to ask you, how has the use of innovative technology made communities safer?
It has worked a lot because through our partnership with VumaCam, we've been able to access about more than 6,000 cameras with our own 380 cameras. Therefore, we are surveilling a lot of areas. So it has been a success because we have been able, one, in the 100 days to make 104 arrests and convictions. We have been able to track 270 cars. We've been able to recover a pound and recover cars that are more than 300. Therefore, it is really working. Those have been big successes, and we've also been able to detect and arrest those people who are stealing our cables. So in the 100 days, we've seen the impact of technology in fighting crime, as I'm giving you the stats of just these 100 days.
And in investing news, SAPI released its quarterly results, which surpassed expectations, leading to a 9% share price increase. Alec Hogg spoke to CEO Steve Binney.
Well, investors love positive surprises, and a very positive surprise from SAPI with its financial results for the year to end September. SAPI is listed all over the world, so it produces quarterly results. So we have the fourth quarter, which makes these numbers even more interesting. Way above expectations, share price up 9% as a direct consequence. Chief Executive Steve Binney joins us. Thanks, Steve. Busy day. You guys being listed all over the world. And nice to see Sappi doing better than was anticipated. I suppose that's the big question that investors would have. What did you have that you were able to pull out and give such a good surprise with?
Yeah, look, we're very satisfied with the results. 2023 was a tough year for us, and what we've seen is a progressive improvement as we moved into 2024. As you reflect on the numbers overall, the pulp segment for us was very, very strong. It had tough times in 23, and I think perhaps maybe the market didn't anticipate such an improvement. On the paper side, a little bit slower to recover, but there was progressive improvement. And then on the other side, in terms of internal factors, we were able to take substantial costs out of the business, both fixed costs and efficiencies and variable costs as well.
And that will wrap up today's show. A big thank you to the talented BizNews production team for putting these clips together. And remember that you can find the full interviews on BizNews TV, radio, and .com. This has been NewsWrap, and I'm Patrick Kidd.